morning, Colorado. Here we go. The Bell and Pollock Legal Show, the only show of its kind. This is our podcast called Legal Injury Hub. Hey, it's exciting today. We're on part four of Car Accidents 101. This is our series for you to teach you step by step what to do in a car accident. And the cool thing is you can go back and you can re-listen to any of these podcasts. You just go to the podcast where you're listening to the podcast right now. Also, you can go to our website, championsofthepeople.com, anytime you want, from the comfort of your phone, your laptop, your computer, your desktop. You can listen and re-listen, listen and re-listen. And you can also get a checklist. For everything that we have, you can get a checklist, right? So, wow, you can re-listen to the show. You can listen to it right now. We teach you. And we give you a checklist in addition to that. So just on championsofthepeople.com, right there on the homepage, it says Car Accidents 101. Yeah, you know that old saying, you can't miss it? Well, you can't miss it. It's right there. Click on it, and it takes you to all the parts, part one, part two, part three, part four. Now, this is part four you're listening to today. But just a little brief reminder of all the good material that we've given you. Part one, we give you a complete educational course on what to do to protect you and your family before a car accident even happens. Yes, you can do it right now. You should do it right now. Listen to the show. Tell you what, listen to the show and look at the checklist. How cool is that? Then on part two, we said to you, what do you do at the scene? Right? And the other cool thing about this is, on the checklist, there's no test, right? Hey, wonderful. I don't like tests. I don't like pop quizzes. So there's no test, just instructional material for you to help you. So part one, what we did was, what do you do before a car accident happens? Oh, well, Gary, there's not much we can do. Yes, there is. Listen to that show. Look at that checklist. Part three, we covered what do you do in the first 2 days. Well, that's Gary. Brad, that sounds kind of strange. What do you do in the first 2 days after a car accident? Yes, that's an eye-opener. So listen to that. Get the checklist. And today is a very important show. You know, Brad, we see this all the time. People have car accidents. It's an emotional time. It really is. It really is. Somebody called me this morning and said somebody hit them on the interstate and barely clipped their fender, and they were shook up, really shook up. You know, so it's a very emotional time. And so what we're trying to teach you is so emotional, but all of a sudden you find yourself in a position where you have to make the very first phone call or receive the very first phone call from the insurance adjuster. And Brad Pollock, my partner of years, you're going to tell everybody and educate everybody this is not an innocent phone call. And I like your line, and I know you're going to use it again, but I like your line about not just anybody at the insurance company is picking up the phone. They are trained, and they know what they're doing.
Well, that's exactly right. An insurance adjuster works for the insurance company. One of the important parts is to make a distinction, by the way. And you got to make a distinction whether you have a property adjuster or an injury adjuster. If you have a property adjuster, you may have a little bit more leeway to talk to them. But then the minute they ask you, are you okay or have you seen a doctor, your answer should be, I thought you were the property adjuster.
Right, exactly right.
Why are you talking to me about my injuries? And that you can get a clue right there that the property adjusters like to sneak in little things about, were you okay or was the hit very hard or was it, you know, did you get much of a jolt or how'd you feel afterwards or how'd you feel the last couple of days? Don't be falling for that. And that's part of the training. I want you to think, everybody out there that's out there thinking, listening to this, I want you to think of something very basic about this, okay? I want you to pretend that you're walking by the insurance company. Let's say you're walking by Farmers or State Farm. And you go walking in, and the receptionist is there, and the receptionist is nice and says, how can I help you? And you look at them and say, I'm here to help you guys out today. I'm going to go make calls to the people who've been in accidents and interview them and talk to them about how the crash happened. And once the person gets back up off the floor
right.
and starts talking to you.
what was your name again, sir? What was your name?
Starts talking to you, they're going to say, well, you know, sir, we already have people to do it. And you say, yeah, but I'm sure you're shorthanded and I want to help you a little bit. And I want to do that. And then when they say, well, do you have any experience with that? You go, no, I don't have any experience. I've only been in one car crash before. That's all. And they go, oh, so you've been in one car crash, and you're going to go call up people who've been in car crashes and interview them on behalf of the insurance company to discuss their injuries. And you go, yep, that's what I'm doing. And how many of you think that you could ever make it to the phone to make any call? That's right. You're not going to. And so if you think that person, that adjuster who's talking to you on the other side of the phone when they call you up to discuss your injuries, if you think that person is not trained, then you don't understand anything about business, and then you need me even worse because you need me to work for you. Because the bottom line is that no insurance company is letting any adjuster get on that phone and start talking about any of the injuries until that person has been completely trained. Now, the next thing you got to think about is how many of you think that adjuster who works for the insurance company, gets paid by the insurance company, and has been told one of the jobs they have is to try to preserve the assets of the insurance company, how many of you think that adjuster is going to be just more than happy to help you formulate a position where you're going to get a maximum amount of money from the insurance company, and they're going to pay you a maximum amount?
Well, I haven't raised my hand yet.
And you're not going to, because that adjuster's job that they've been trained and they've been told is to get the settlement done if they can, get the resolution done if they can, for as little as possible. That's what it is. I mean, and they're trained to, in the alternative, get a good statement from you that they can use against you when it comes time to go to court, or when it comes time to go to mediation, or when it comes time to talk to your lawyer who you have not yet gotten. So, you know, the bottom line is sometimes you get surprised by these adjusters and they call you the same day. But if you go back to our other part three of this, of our program, it says one of the things you need to do during part three in the first few days after the crash is find a lawyer, because you're going to need a lawyer and you probably want that lawyer with you when you're recounting the crash. And the crash can be very significant. It can be very emotional. It can be something that you're trying to relive. You've not gone through it before. Maybe you didn't relive it yet. And now as you're going to relive it, you're going to relive it for the first time with the adjuster. You may not understand certain details or why certain information is important versus why it isn't. You want an experienced personal injury lawyer to help you with that.
Exactly. And you can call Bell and Pollock anytime, 303-795-5900. That's 303-795-5900. Or just go to our website, championsofthepeople.com. It's easy. There's an intaker form there. It's easy to fill out. It's not long and boring. It's easy. We will respond to you. We'll get back to you, and we will help you. At Bell and Pollock, we educate and advocate.
And don't talk to that insurance adjuster until you've talked to us.
Don't talk to the insurance adjuster. That's one thing we're talking about today, is part four of our Car Accidents 101. Sometimes you elect not to talk to the adjuster right away until you know what you're doing. Become educated. You're listening to the show. You can listen to the show again on our website, championsofthepeople.com. You can listen to wherever you get your podcasts. This is our Legal Injury Hub podcast. You can look at our checklist in addition to looking at the shows on our website. We have a checklist for you as well. What you need to know, what you need to do before you talk to the adjuster for the very first time. And we're gonna do some role-playing, but we got some more advice for you. We got some more tips for you coming up. Bell and Pollock, 303-795-5900. We're on your side. We educate and advocate. Think of it this way. If you were standing in front of a stairway, right, and we used this example before, would you take the first step? You want to go up the steps, and the second step, and the third step, or would you try to jump and catapult 8 steps up, 7 steps up. I think you pretty much would take it a step at a time. And Brad said something important a minute ago. If you think, you know, and those adjusters, they're doing their job. But if you think they're on your side, they're not. If you think they got your best interest always at mind, they're on the other side. It's like that old song by George Strait. If you think that's true, I got some oceanfront property for you in Arizona, and I'll also throw in the Golden Gate Bridge for free. Okay? So you got to understand the relationship. And the myth is, what the trap most people fall into is the myth. Man, I was in an accident. I got rear-ended. That was not my fault, man. There's insurance. That's what insurance is for. Surely they're going to take care of us. Surely they're going to pay. All right, now I want to go back to what Brad said a minute ago. There's a BI, bodily injury adjuster, who wants to know about your injuries, and they're not entitled to know all this stuff at the very beginning. There might be later, but not at the very beginning. And there's also a PD, property damage adjuster. So, Brad, let's do a little bit of role-playing so we can give people an example. Suppose I'm injured. Suppose you're the property damage adjuster. I call up and I'm talking to you. I mean, you might ask me if I had any pre-existing conditions in my neck.
So why?
Why?
Why am I asking you that? I'm the property damage adjuster. I'm supposed to be asking you about your car. Now I'm asking if you have any pre-existing conditions about your neck. The last time I saw, the damage to your car isn't contingent upon in any way, shape, or form you having a pre-existing condition to your neck.
They're not entitled to know that information. Next one, Brad, you might ask me, did you have your seatbelt on?
Why? What does that make a difference on how the crash occurred, on how bad the car is damaged and who's at fault for the crash? Well, again, you know, if I tell you, look, I'm not going to be able to adjust your claim on your car and get your car fixed for you if you don't start giving me this information as to whether or not you had your seatbelt on, your job is to hang up the phone and call your own insurance company, because there's no way you have to answer those questions, and you should refuse to answer those questions. But I don't know. I'm trying to think of a where there's ever been an issue on the damage to the seatbelt over whether or not it was hooked or not, such that we need to fix.
I've never had a case. I mean, it's almost comical. I mean, you're talking to the property damage adjuster who we're supposed to be talking about where you're going to take your car to get it assessed, maybe repaired, maybe totaled. Who's going to pay for it? How do you get it over there? Does it need to be towed? Can it be drive? Can it be driven there? Right? I'll get my English square away in a minute. But can it be drive? Can it be drive? Good, Gary.
Those are all fair questions.
Right.
Those are ones you have to find out about. You know, but yeah, amazingly enough, most of the time the property adjuster doesn't ask you those questions anyway.
No, the property adjuster asks you, did you ever have a neck problem? Were you injured? Did you ever have a neck problem before? Did you have your seatbelt on? What do those have to do with your damage to your car, right?
Or they'll say, tell me how this crash occurred, and there shouldn't be a whole lot of details on that. Maybe they've got to determine fault on who should be paying for it. But, you know, then the property damage, you know, adjuster has got the job of saying, okay, can you get your car into one of these places to get an estimate on the damage to it, or do I have to send somebody out to look at it? That's what it is.
That's a legitimate conversation.
And there's not a whole lot more questions that should be asked about it.
No. So when they ask you about your neck, do you have a sore neck? Were you injured, sir? Just tell them I want to talk to you about my car. All right. Did you have a neck injury? I want to talk to you about my car. Were you wearing your seatbelt? I'm not here to talk about that. I'm talking about my car, right?
Even if it's, have you been in a crash like this before? You know, have you ever had an experience with a crash before? The answer is, I'm worried about right now, not what I had in the past. Because none of that has to do anything with determining whether or not there's damage to your car and how you're going to get your car fixed, whether or not you're going to get a loaner in the meantime, whether or not you're going to get some other car to drive. And there's no reason for any of the rest of this. You're either going to talk about the damage to your car and getting it repaired, or the repair shop that's going to do it, or what the process is, or you're not going to talk to them, and you're going to say, when you find an adjuster who truly wants to talk property damage, have that adjuster call me.
Exactly.
And if you have to then call up your own insurance company, if you haven't called them, you need to, call them up and tell them, I've been in a crash, it was somebody else's fault. The adjuster on the other side wanted to talk to me about my personal injuries rather than talk to me about getting my car fixed. I'd like to get my car fixed so that I can get back on the road and have access to the world by being able to transport myself with my car.
Exactly right. You can also call us anytime, 303-795-5900. That's Bell and Pollock. I'm Gary Bell along with Brad Pollock. I mean, we've been running this show, this program, this law firm for a long time, a lot of years. We've got a lot of experience. You can put our experience to work for you and your family, 303-795-5900. We're glad to do it. People call us all the time. We will talk to you on the phone. You don't even have to come in. Hey, the insurance adjuster, they call me. What do I need to do? What do I need to know? We can help you, right? You should seek our help. This is what we do for you. And you can call us, 303-795-5900. We're talking about now part four of our series on Car Accidents 101. Go to our homepage of our website, championsofthepeople.com. Click on Car Accidents 101. It'll take you to all the parts. You can listen to all the shows. You can get the checklist, and you can re-listen to the shows if you so want. It's right there for you, all the information. It's broken down into parts, and it's broken down into simple categories that you can see the title to the show at the top, and it will help you. Now, we're not done with the subject. We're not done. You're talking to the adjuster. They're not on your side. And, you know, one of my favorite phrases that I've heard people say over the years is the adjuster, and Brad mentioned it a little bit a minute ago. They say, you know something, if you want me to help you, you got to help me. I can't help you unless you help me. Well, how am I supposed to help you, Mr. and Mrs. Insurance Company? What do you want me to do? All right. Next thing they say, Brad, let's cover this right now. They say, I'm gonna send you out a few forms. This is your enemy you're talking to. This is your adversary you're talking to. This is the person that for the insurance company, for the at-fault party who hit you and injured you. And they say, I'm gonna send you out a few forms and a questionnaire. Can you fill that and send it back for me? Brad, what do people do?
Well, what people do is they fill them out and send them back.
No.
But what should they do is they should say, okay, send your forms, and then gather up all those forms and then go see a personal injury lawyer. That's what they should do, and not touch those forms until the personal injury lawyer gets a look at them and can make a decent statement as to what should or shouldn't be filled out. And what parts of the form should or shouldn't be filled out, and what lines we should be crossing through to make sure that they're not part of the agreement, whether we restrict the authority of the adjuster so the adjuster can't have that information available. That's what the person should be doing. Once again, why are you filling out forms?
Exactly.
What's the reason? Especially if it's property damage, if it's somebody who's actually dealing with personal injury, to anybody out there listening, why are you talking to them without a lawyer? This is a no-brainer.
You know, it almost reminds me, and it does remind me. I just thought of something. I saw two criminal defense attorneys on YouTube, and they did this video. And, of course, they use very foul language and whatever, but we're not going to do that here. But they were there, and their whole mantra, their whole speech, their whole point to you was, you've been charged with a crime? Shut up. Just shut up. And they kept repeating that. Just shut up. And if the police officer says, well, what happened here? Just shut up. Don't talk to them. Just be quiet. And they must have said shut up and with a couple of three colorful cuss words thrown in there a few times. Just shut up. And so when they say we're going to send out a few forms, no. You can send them, but I'm not going to sign them. I don't need them. Okay, I'm not going to do it. So, on our checklist in our show for your legal health, for your climbing the legal stairway to personal injury compensation and recovery, for your legal health. Do not sign a release for your medical records. Do not sign a questionnaire. Do not fill out the questionnaire. Well, it's just a simple questionnaire, ma'am, sir. You know, it's just all your doctors, your whole life. Just give your doctor's names, addresses, and sign the release so we can go get your records. Do not do that, right? Do not sign any of their, quote, few forms they're going to send to you, and do not give them the name of all your doctors. They're not entitled to it. Brad, what do you think?
Well, that's exactly it. You know, that term is just shut up. Is probably the best term out there for that situation until you have your lawyer with you. And then your lawyer can go through the crash with you and go through it step by step and analyze the crash and see what's happened and discuss it and give you an avenue. And you know, this goes more to just the adjuster. I mean, if you're driving a company car and your company says, we want a statement, remember, that statement you're giving the company can get discovered by a defense counsel. They can take a look at it.
Yeah.
You know, so do you want to be a little careful about what you put on there? Because sometimes what you put on there doesn't read the way you meant it to read. And that's where the concern is. I mean, it's not just, well, we're afraid you're going to say something where the truth will come out. We're afraid you're going to say something where the truth does not come out and where the truth gets twisted and turned. And it gets read the wrong way because of the way you write it or the way your supervisor writes it when you're talking to them. And the supervisor going, no, that's what they told me. This is how it is. This is what they told me. And, you know, of course, you know, I can't tell you how many times they look and they say, now I want you to sign this. You know, I wrote down what you told me and I want you to sign this. And it gets signed without anybody even looking at it.
Here's a life example for you. I was taking the deposition of a bus driver within the past 6 months, and he had given a statement to his bus company. He was involved in an accident, and I got the statement through discovery, and I was asking him about the statement. And he kept saying, well, that's not correct. You signed it. You put it on there. You were doing X miles per hour. You put it on there. You ran into this other car. No, I didn't. That's a mistake. And so I'm thinking, and I'm looking at him saying, well, if you think it was a mistake now, a year later, I'm understanding that's what you're saying, but you signed the statement the night of. You did. And you said these things. You did. You agree? I agree. I put it down there as answer was, but it was all a mistake. So we don't want you to be that guy. We want you to be accurate, truthful. And remember, car accidents are emotional. They're turmoil. This is not your area of expertise. This is not your field. Sometimes you need a cooler, more collect, calm thinking somebody on your side. That's Bell and Pollock. You can call us anytime at 303-795-5900, 303-795-5900, or just go to our website, championsofthepeople.com. Hey, you're listening to our podcast right now. You want the information? We have information for you. We have a checklist for you on our website, championsofthepeople.com. Okay, Brad, a couple of more examples for everybody listening because we're kind of on a roll here, all right? How about you're calling me up, I'm the adjuster, you call me up, you're reporting this accident, you're talking to me, and I say, hey, Mr. Pollock, could I have your birth date? What okay. for?
I'm going to say, no, why do you need that? You know, tell me why you need to know how old I am.
Okay, all right, fair enough, but can I, do you have Medicare or Medicaid or anything like that?
No, why do you need to know that? Why do you need to know my insurance?
Well, I mean, sir, it's a pretty simple question. Do you have Medicaid? You have health insurance, and what's your health insurance company?
And why? What's that got to do with how the crash occurred?
There you go. You get an A today, Brad, you got an A. We're cooking.
I passed my own test.
You passed your own test. Wow.
I'll be darned. We should make sure people understand you did not give me those questions in advance.
No, and there was no disclosure to Mr. Brad Pollock in advance. It was a complete surprise situation.
I'm sitting over here wondering why you want to know all that information.
I call it a legal pop quiz.
Because that's what you've been trained to get. because once again, when you went to work for the insurance company to make calls to people who've been in crashes, they didn't let you just walk off the street and go walking back to where the phones were and figure out how to get on line one and start asking questions.
They
put you through a training course. And you know who hasn't been through the training course?
You.
That's right. The person who's been questioned has not been put through the training course.
So just shut up.
That's right. Just shut up.
That's pretty crude. But those two lawyers were so funny, that those two criminal defense lawyers, and they were kind of playing off of each other, just shut up. Just shut up. And when the police officer says, are you driving that black Chevrolet? Just shut up.
Now, this goes back to part three.
Part three. Here we go.
This goes back to part three. What are we going to do during the first 2 days after the crash?
Right.
And one of the items I included was you're going to contact a competent personal injury lawyer.
Period.
You're going to talk to them. You're going to discuss things with them. You may go in and meet with them. You may not go in and meet them. You may go in and sign a contract. You may not go in and sign a contract. Do I suggest you find your personal injury lawyer by, what you see in advertising? I'm not so certain that's the way it should be. I'm thinking you may want to select your personal injury lawyer a different way. Yeah, and there's a lot of ways you can select a personal injury lawyer to try to talk to them. But one of the things you want to do is talk to a competent personal injury lawyer before that adjuster calls you. And if the adjuster calls you the first day, your answer is, well, hang on, put the phone down, and in a couple of days come back and pick it up and talk to the adjuster after you've talked to the personal injury lawyer.
Well, that's pretty mean, Brad, but a hidden benefit here for everybody, a hidden benefit, I'll bet you didn't know the following. Hello? If you hire an injury lawyer to represent you, the insurance company can no longer talk to you ever. Did you hear that? Ever. They can't ask you questions. They can't talk to you about your car. They can't talk to you about your health. They can't talk to you about the seatbelt. They can't talk to you about a few forms or a medical release, period, done, over with. A lot of people have told us, it'd take a big burden off my back. I'll just concentrate on my medical treatment and me, and you guys handle the rest of it. Belt and Pollock, we can put our experience to work for you. You can put our experience to work for you. 303-795-5900, championsofthepeople.com. Now, before we go, we're on part four of Car Accidents 101. Come on, you can find it on our website, championsofthepeople.com. You can do that. Before we go, Brad, there's a few things we're going to teach you right now that you can ask the adjuster. Whoa. Really? I can ask questions? I can ask questions of the adjuster. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. So it's not just a one-way street. And I'll bet you if you ask the questions, we've told clients this before, I bet you if you ask the questions, they're going to tell you, I can't do that. Well, if they can tell you they can't do it, why can't you say, I can't do it when they ask you questions? What can you ask them for? You can ask them, and Brad's a pro at this, you can ask them, did your insurer, the at-fault party, the one who rear-ended you, did your insured give you a statement as to what happened? Well, yes. Well, can I have a copy of that statement? They're saying this is what happened in the crash. Can I have it?
Or can I have a copy of your notes where you wrote down what happened?
Right. Will you give that to me? What are they going to tell you? Well, we can't do that. We can't do that.
Or they might tell you, well, we can give that to you right after we talk to you about what's being said. Or right after we get your statement.
Right.
And they say, because we don't want, one person to have a statement over the other. But the problem is that you have to understand this is a representative of the other side. This is a person who represents the other side. So, then your statement would be, well, will you give it to my lawyer? If you don't want to give it to me directly, will you give it to my lawyer?
Right.
My lawyer can have it.
But if you want them to ask the two bottom line questions, we gave you some questions you can ask the adjuster. Try one of these two questions. Try one of these two. Numero uno, number one. Does your insured have insurance? Duh, yes, it's an insurance company you're talking to. Well, yes, I've got insurance. Well, how much are the policy limits? See what kind of answer you get there. See what kind of answer you get. How much are your policy limits that are available in this accident? And the bottom line, the million-dollar question, behind the curtain. We're going to open the curtain. Ask them, in this crash right here, Mr. or Mrs. Adjuster, do you accept liability? You accept responsibility? Was your insured at fault? What are they going to say, Brad?
Well, you might want to at the same time say, now make sure the recording is running, because I can't tell you how many times I've been told that they accepted responsibility and then we don't get the recording and they say, no, we never did anything.
No, we didn't accept responsibility.
We never did that. So, you know, you want to say, make sure the recorder is running. And, you know, then they lose the recording. I've had that happen.
Yep.
Where the tape, they say, we don't have a recording, and, you know, that darn good and well the person got recorded. But, you know, when you ask them, are you accepting responsibility, it can be very difficult to get it from them. And if they do say yes, then you need to say, will you drop me an email real quick or a text real quick, or will you drop me a little message saying we're accepting responsibility for the crash?
Because those are key words that says they're insured at fault.
Now what they normally, even if they want to go that far, they'll say, based on what we know right now, based on the information we have. Of course, that assessment can change if more facts come to light.
Right.
And so they're then you're back at the same situation of the fact that they haven't committed to anything.
Well, and I have had some good adjusters over the years, I got to say that, and some of them have said, yeah, we've looked at this both ways. We really like to take the statement of your client, but yeah, at this point in time, we're going to accept responsibility. But that's usually few and far between, and Brad and I can't tell you how many times that has changed later. Sometimes it's remained the same, to be honest, but it changes, and you should protect yourself. You listen to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. I'm Gary Bell, along with Brad Pollock. Our law firm is Bell and Pollock. You know that. Our website, championsofthepeople.com. That's easy. Come on. championsofthepeople.com. We're talking about our Car Accident 101 series. Car Accidents 101. You know, like Economics 101, Accounting 101, right? Statistics 101. Ugh, statistics. I hated it. Doesn't matter. Car Accidents 101, Part 1, Part 2, Part 3. Today you're listening to Part 4, and we're going to keep on going up that stairway, one step at a time. It's the stairway to your absolute, thorough, complete recovery of compensation, legitimate compensation, the personal injury stairway to compensation. I just thought of that. That's pretty cool. All right. Gary Bell, Brad Pollock, 303-795-5900. Our website, championsofthepeople.com, because we are your champions of the people. See you next week.